You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from 5 Under Golf Center in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects as we roll through and into our number two of the big show. It is a fantastic afternoon here in Beaumont, Texas. It's an F Yeah Friday. F for fun. F for F Yeah because, my goodness, this place is amazing. F for 5 Under. 5 Under Golf. Come on out and see us. We're going to be here till 4. Blitz is here till 7. If you live in this area and you don't come see this spot and then once you see it come back, you're an idiot.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can only imagine that you'll get a lot of young ladies here because they'll understand the dudes are going to be here because it's more than just grab a drink and hang out by the bar. There's lots to do, lots going on. Chris has been taking absolutely fantastic care of us.
What you snacking on over there?
Quesadillas.
Quesadillas a lot?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Me? After? Okay.
I sampled everything, Joel.
I ordered my own appetizer. Forgive me.
I got to see Nick swing.
How'd he do?
Disaster.
It was a pretty bad swing.
And I even tried to coach him up. I was like, look, don't swing hard. You're going to that's the tendency to get up there.
And then you swing hard.
He didn't swing that hard. He's got a smooth swing.
Nah. He swung hard.
Well,
30 yards. Mine's with 30 yards.
I've also played golf since I was in my early 20s.
Yeah.
I don't play a lot. I'm not great. But I played enough to know that if someone puts you on the spot, you're like, I'm gonna swing as hard as I can. You know, you poot a little, you do that whole thing. I didn't want you to do that.
My whole thing is if I swing hard, then it's probably
gonna
hurt somebody.
Well,
around.
You were just gonna miss, and then that would have been way worse than hitting it 100 yards like you did.
It is the most psychologically hard to accept theory in all of sports. The easier you swing in golf,
the further
it goes. And I have had people with lessons tell me
that. You thought I was giving you bad advice,
didn't you? Absolutely a fact.
I didn't.
It's totally a fact. And I had a guy that is a director of golf from Memorial Park, Glenn Childers at Memorial Park. And he said, he put two golf balls down one time. He said, how far you hit your 7-iron? I said, about 165. He goes,
jeez.
Okay. He put it down. He goes, now, on a scale of 1 to 10, how far do you think you swing? I said, probably an 8 or 9. He goes, give me an 8 or 9 right now. I said, okay. So I gave him an 8 or 9. He said, you see where it lent? I go, yeah. He goes, now, humor me. Give me a 4 or a 5. I was like, come on, man. He goes, no, seriously, I don't want a half swing. I want you to go back as far and everything, but don't jump on it. Just smooth it. The ball went 5 yards farther. And I was like, what are you? He goes, you understand? It's all about
your muscles tense up.
It's about, what do you call it? The numbers and the angles. Every club, it's the length of the shaft and the angle on the iron.
Story of my life.
It's only going to go so far, and it's on the angle of the club, unless you like hood it and try to do crazy things with it.
Length of the shaft is my issue in golf.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure you're the king of the extra stiff.
So basically,
hey, you were extra stiff shaft, buddy.
People are trying to eat right now. Why?
Just kidding. I mean, that's why we on the station we have male enhancements, because
that's
if
true.
You're not hitting it with the extra stiff anymore,
well,
there's a chance that you can bring it back.
No well, kids yet.
Nick
no kids
needed
yet.
Some extends on his drive. I'll tell you that.
That's a blast from the past. Extends?
Yes.
That hat to have gone out of business. That is
not. Ask Granado. I don't know.
They're not going to.
Why you put Granado on blast?
You said it's a blast from the past. I don't know.
Wow. Just put Granado. Are these your clubs?
There was actually
you
a pretty.
Your clubs? What a weirdo.
Oh, my God.
I was making fun of Joel for bringing a glove. No, they have clubs over here. AJ shows up with a caddy and a bag.
A caddy.
He actually carried your club.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Offer not valid in all states.
listening to an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from 5 Under Golf Center in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We're back on The Usual Suspects as we are coming to you live from 5 Under Golf in Beaumont. It's a fantastic facility. The starter just called AJ to the tee box. He has a onesome, and he is getting ready to tee off, although Fred just walked in looking to try to pick up with somebody as a single, so they might be able to play a twosome and get a quick nine in.
I just saw AJ get ready to hit. He pulled out some of the turf and threw it in the air to test the wind. That's how serious he is about this golf. He threw turf in the air indoors to test the wind. That's a little much, AJ. You're going overboard.
Wait, because bringing your own clubs wasn't? Come on, man.
Oh, man. That's wow. Outstanding.
We keep telling you, though, this place is
it's
absolutely
so much
amazing.
Fun. This is amazing.
It's if they don't have these kind of places in and around the Houston area, they need to get them because, man, what a great place to hang out.
I know they have Topgolf.
Topgolf I've been to, and it's outside.
I'm not going to lie. It gets hot. It gets cold. This is amazing because you can stay indoors the entire time.
Yep. And like I said, you might have a tee time at a course, and then it's raining outside, and you're like, oh, our day's screwed. No, it's not. Just come here, get a bay.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's so inexpensive. You got a foursome,
right?
And you and your three buddies split, you know, a couple hours of time.
When they have the special, it's 2 hours for $75. Round of golf is about 2.5 hours, depending on what you do.
Thursday night, 2 hours, $75. Split that four ways.
What do you pay to play golf?
A round of golf on a decent course is probably between $75 and $100.
So you come here, you eat for $20 for 2 hours, you're playing golf, you get an appetizer, you drink some beers, you don't break a sweat. And then if you want to, you start talking trash to your buddies, and you're like, yeah, I bet I can throw this football over that mountain. And then you can see because you can play football in the bay.
But that's the bigger thing because we're all competitive. So the fact that while you're all sitting around and all of a sudden you're like, all right, let's play closest to the pin. Well, you can fire it up on the computer and play closest to the pin.
Yeah.
Or you want to play 18 holes and you want to play Augusta National or you want to play one of the major courses in the country. You can fire it up and you can play.
This is how serious AJ is on the baseball game that they were playing earlier. He was banging on the trash can so that they knew what was like. He's taking it so serious. It's just unbelievable. But, yeah, this is fun. Y'all got
to
get out here.
5945 College. Come on down to the Beaumont area and check out 5 Under Golf. It is absolutely spectacular. We'll be back. Hopefully you guys will stop in and see us. We're going to be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. Blitz is here now.
Yeah.
Fred and AJ are already over there at the bin, so they're already here. So they'll be signing autographs, taking selfies, and probably, you know, maybe giving you some wagers or something. I don't know.
Hey, Aaron.
Yo.
Are we? Do we need to get out and come back or what? I know we. Are we good? I can't hear music. Okay.
So we were talking a little bit about the Rockets before, we got cut out as well. But
why are we taking it long?
I think overall, before we got cut out, we get caught up because this place is so cool. But there's a big weekend. We got a lot to talk about. We got college football to play. I did not realize the Pac-12 game is tonight.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you got Oregon and Utah, and it's the playoff picture starts to get a little clearer because of the fact that you get one of the games involving a team that has a chance to get into that final four spot in Utah playing against Oregon. Should be a good game. I'm glad it's something to watch on a Friday night.
So last I saw, Utah was favored by 6.5.
Yeah.
Over-under was 46. I think that's low for a Pac-12 game, first of all.
Yeah,
I think that needs to be a little bit higher. I could see these teams both putting up over 50 easily, and the over-under is 46. Who do you got? You think Utah wins? I mean, they're
I really don't.
Six
I mean,
and a half point
I
favorite.
I think they win? I think
they'll.
Let me say this. I think it's going to be a game. I think Oregon is capable of winning this game.
Yes.
I really do. And I think that, hopefully it is high scoring. Hopefully it is a good game. But I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be within a field goal to about four points.
So the line moved again. It was 6.5. Now it's 7. Now, remember when we talked Bears-Cowboys earlier and I told you about the Sagarin ratings?
Yeah.
Of all of the games that are going on this weekend, when you look at tonight's game with Utah and Oregon this weekend, Clemson-Virginia, LSU-Georgia, OU-Baylor, and Ohio State-Wisconsin, this is the closest game of those five that I just named as far as the Sagarin rating goes. Sagarin has Utah at 1.08 points better than Oregon. So what they're saying essentially is that these teams are almost identical.
Yeah.
I think if eye test-wise you look at Utah, you think they're the better football team. I think Oregon has better talent overall. Yep. They haven't lived up to expectations. Herbert obviously is NFL caliber. I think Utah wins, but I think Oregon covers because seven.
That's
now,
what I'm saying. I think
seven
Oregon covers
is way too much.
But I'm not shocked if Oregon wins because Oregon's battle tested and Oregon, so, you know, Oregon, you know, played Auburn. They and I totally agree with you. I really think that Oregon has a legitimate shot to win the game.
So just like – so when we talked about the Sagarin rating, right, for the teams, and Utah's 1.08 better than Oregon, which means they're about a point better than Oregon according to their calculations. The other games, if you're curious, LSU-Georgia, this surprised me a little bit. Sagarin rating of 3.19 for LSU over Georgia thinks that they're about 3 points better even though the spread is 7. Next one, and I'm kind of going in order as they get increased. Mm-hmm. OU Baylor, OU 5.8, a 5.8 Sagarin rating over Baylor. Spread is 9 in that. So they're starting to.
That seems high to me.
Yeah, they're starting to come together. I don't know. I basically went with all the underdogs from a point spread perspective. I think a lot of the favorites win. Some of these spreads, 7, 9, 16.
16 and a half, isn't it?
16 and a half, Ohio State, Wisconsin. Sagarin rating at a 13. That's a lot closer, though. So I think that the spread, when you start seeing the spread and the Sagarin rating get closer together, it tells you it's a little more true.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Like when we talked, Utah, Oregon, 1-7, that's a 6-point difference. That makes me lean heavily Oregon and makes you think that these teams are equal.
Yeah, and you know what? From a viewer's perspective, you want to see closer games because you want to see the committee have something to really think about as well. You want it to come down to the fact that it's not just going to be a slam dunk that, you know, one team of the three won and they're going to get in. But you know that Georgia's sitting there now. So if they do get, you know, beat LSU, they're going to be in and there's your four and then you're done.
Yep.
But if they don't, now you're talking about, you know, is Baylor going to pull the upset and beat Oklahoma? Then do they need Utah to lose so that they can get in? Otherwise, if Utah wins, they should be in.
Right.
And if, say, Utah is in a tight game with Oregon and Oklahoma wins pretty convincingly, then do they leapfrog Utah and they get in even if both teams win? So there's a lot to consider, factor in, and watch for.
So Utah-Oregon plays tonight. You said you think Utah wins, but you're not surprised if Oregon does.
I think
who's your
Oregon
pick?
I think Oregon covers. And I'll tell you this. If I had to pick it, I would take Oregon in the points. But I think Oregon. I actually.
So
think
you're picking Oregon
outright,
to win
outright. Outright. I'll take Oregon to win.
Okay. What about LSU Georgia? That's
LSU
the second
wins.
Closest
I just
game.
Think, I just think LSU wins.
So the spread is 7. Sagarin rating of 3.1 or 3.2 for LSU.
If we're not even worrying about the spread, I'll take LSU to win that game.
See that again, and I think I'm like that for most of these games, except for OU Baylor.
No, I'm not dumb enough to tell you that Wisconsin's going to beat Ohio State because they're not.
No, but I of all the games I've got. I basically took all the underdogs. So I think Georgia covers the 7, but I think LSU wins. What about OU Baylor? Who you have? Who is the spread is 9. OU, obviously, the favorite.
I think Baylor covers the spread, but I think Oklahoma wins the game.
Okay. And I see that's the only one where I think I'm taking the underdog to win and cover.
And I could see that happen.
But I could totally see that in the Oregon game as well. I don't think it's crazy you picked Oregon to win at all. Now, like I said, if you would have said Wisconsin wins, then I would think you're crazy. So we both have Ohio State winning. The spread is 16.5, Ohio State. You think Wisconsin can cover the 16.5?
I don't.
Really?
I do not.
I don't know. Look, when you think, like, let's look at numbers here, all right? Ohio State scoring.
Wait, you're going to look at numbers?
Ohio State scoring 50 a game, Wisconsin scoring 35, 36 a game.
I don't worry about that.
But defensively, these teams are very close.
Oh, look, I love the Ohio Badgers
State
defense.
Ohio State giving up 12, Wisconsin giving up 14.5, so call it 15.
Sure.
That's a 3-point swing. So if you look at what they score versus what they give up, and you just use that basic formula, then they say that the game is about a 32-24 game. So call it 31-24.
Spread is
16?
I get it, but
that's crazy.
But Barry, I don't look at it that way because here's how I look at it. I look at it as Wisconsin's bread and butter is running the football.
Mm-hmm.
The first time these two teams played with the front 7 and the front 4 that Ohio State has, Jonathan Taylor didn't even get over 60 yards rushing.
Okay.
So the fact of the matter is if that's your bread and butter at Wisconsin, that's what you hold your, you know, ball control, time of possession, and Jonathan Taylor just absolutely running it down your throat. And they weren't able to do it the last time, and I don't think that anything's changed drastically to say that they're going to be able to do it this time, and that's going to be a huge factor because then you're talking about time of possession. You're talking about positioning and where you're getting the ball. And Ohio State's going to be in a position to score a lot of points. I don't see it happening.
I think Wisconsin has to come out and play better defense in the second half. If they do, I mean, it was 10-0 at half.
No, it was 10. It was 10-3 or 10-7 at half.
It was 10-0 at half. I'm looking at the box.
Was it?
It was 10. Well,
Wisconsin scored right, I think,
right.
Third
so
quarter.
At some point it was 10-7.
Yeah.
And then that's when Ohio State rattled off their 28 in a row. If the Buckeyes can play, or if the Badgers can play better defense in the second half, they can make this a ball game. And I think that they can cover.
I hope you're right.
I think they can cover the 16 because I think they score more than 7.
But you haven't watched them like I have. Offensively, if they have to throw the football, they're a very pedestrian team. And I don't think that Ohio State is so talented on both sides of the football that they're not going to be – nothing that Wisconsin tries to either throw at them or bring to them is going to be anything that surprises them or they can't handle. That's just – I just don't think – Ohio State is the most balanced football team in the country. Offense, defense, special teams. And it's what we used to say about Alabama. When you start talking about the five stars, the guys that are going to be playing on Sundays and on both sides of the football, all the guys that they have, and we looked at that mock draft yesterday, how many Ohio State guys were on that list. You know, for every Jonathan Taylor, there's a Dobbins, J.K. Dobbins and Fields and all the guys that they have offensively. I just think that Ohio State's got too much.
They're tied with the Ducks as far as points scored in NCAA football. I think they're 16th or 17th in the country in scoring points, the Badgers are. Mm-hmm. I think you're selling the team short. I mean, look, I get it. Part of it is you're just being, you know.
No, you also aren't playing. But the Badgers haven't seen a team like Ohio State except for the one time they played them.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying.
Unless you played Ohio State, there's really, unless you've played LSU or you've played Clemson, which we know Clemson didn't play anybody this year, you're not likely to see a team like this.
Well, I mean, in the SEC, I looked at.
But that has to factor in, right? You're Wisconsin, you know now. Look. We had this team 10-7 going into the third.
I get that, but both teams are going to make adjustments.
This wasn't a blowout until the second half got away from them. They played 2.5 quarters.
But defensively,
close.
When you talk about Wisconsin was able to do defensively, Ohio State was a little late in making the adjustments out of the halftime. Mm-hmm. But once they made the adjustments midway through the third quarter, it wasn't even a ball game.
I can't believe I have to argue with you. Wisconsin.
I'm actually trying to be honest about this one instead of just telling you.
I feel like this is your reverse psychology.
No, not at all.
All right. So last game we didn't get to. So we've got we've established you've got Oregon. I've got Utah. We both picked LSU to win. We both picked OU to win. Oh no, you picked OU to win. I picked Baylor to win. Yep. We both have Ohio State winning, and then obviously Clemson and Virginia. I don't think that's close.
Hands down.
I think Clemson boat races Virginia.
Yep.
But again, I took all the underdogs to cover. I just feel like the spread is too big for some of these games. I mean, it's conference championships, and I realize that the teams that are favored, a lot of them are really, really good, like LSU and Ohio State and Clemson.
Yep.
But
yeah, I mean, look, the good thing is that, especially because you got the Pac-12 game tonight, you can enjoy football all weekend. Because you got all these conference championship games to enjoy tonight and tomorrow. Then you got all the – and there's some great NFL games on Sunday as well. So there's a lot coming down the stretch where if this is a weekend where you just want to sit on the couch and be a couch potato, you're going to have a hell of a lot of fun football to watch throughout the weekend. So that's a good thing.
So I got a text. It says, appreciate all the respect for 5-under and Beaumont. That management crew has worked tirelessly to make that happen, especially after Imelda. Love y'all. And good
Amen to
know. To props to the whole crew here for putting this together and making it what it is, because as far as entertainment goes in the area, if you're a sports fan at all, there's something for everybody here. There really is. Yeah. And a lot of times, like you said earlier, man, you come to a place like this and it's fun to play in, but, you know, the beer all tastes the same because it's bottled by the same people, but the food can be, no pun intended, suspect. Food is legit here.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And you know what? They always say the party doesn't start till the popes walk in. Well, the popes are here now, so the party can begin. Donna's here. So we've got the whole 409 crew that backs us all the time is here. It's a shame it's our last remote of the year to be in the B-Town, but we always enjoy coming down here. But, I mean, telling you, from all the different places we've been, this place right here, top shelf, it is absolutely fantastic. So we're going to have some fun here today. You recovered from that burger and fries, Nicholas?
Man, I feel so sleepy, and I've got to be here till 7. That was a big burger. That was a big burger. But I do like this 165-inch TV screen that they have.
That's pretty crazy.
9 TVs that could potentially be...
I want to do this in my man cave.
Yeah, Chris says they with all the different TVs, you can make it one big screen. Like for the UFC fights, it's just going to have the one big screen going with the fight.
Nice. Yeah, so if you want to come over and see UFC 245, and they don't charge a cover, because there's other spots
really?
That would charge a minimum
no cover,
or a cover.
Yep, no cover for the UFC fight.
That's a great deal.
They got 9 screens up here, but it can be 165 inches.
Now, I don't know if they can do this or not, but you know what would be really cool?
See, that was so good. I didn't.
If you,
I was. I thought Joel. See, it went past Joel.
Yeah, I.
You were the mature one for
lately
once.
Lately, it's been him, not me. Let's not get that twisted.
Okay.
But you know what would be very cool too? If you rented out a bay.
Yes.
And you got, you know, you were in all the undercards and whatever. You were playing games, and all of a sudden, you want to see the main event. You can put it on the screen in your bay.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, right in your bay.
I wonder if they could do that. That'd be badass. You've got to ask Chris.
Well, I mean, there's TV screens right there.
I thought, you can do that. That's badass.
I thought what would be cool is, you know, because you can go over there and you can act like you're an NFL quarterback. You can act like you're a Major League Baseball pitcher. You can act like you're a soccer player. What if you
like
go over
listeners.
There? What if you went over there and you could put UFC up and then somebody punches you in the face, and then now you got to fight your way out of the bay. Now that would be fun.
Now, Nick, you know I would just sit there and volunteer to be the guy that punches people in the face.
I would let Nick go first. I would be like, go see what it's like, man. Go, and what, it would just be like a kangaroo comes out and just starts boxing you. That'd be dope, man.
Now, we were also told, by the way, when you were talking about the technology with the screens and all the logistics of the ball flight and the speed, ball speed and all that other stuff, the Lamar Golf team actually comes here. And they can actually hone in and tune in how far they hit each of their clubs and get ready for the season by doing it by using the technology here with the screens. I think that's pretty cool.
That's badass. Yeah.
I like all the technology here. The only thing I do want to try is we haven't talked about basketball, right? They have football, soccer, golf.
No basketball. They have dodgeball.
No. Dodgeball would be cool.
You have to throw the dodgeballs at targets.
So we're doing football next, right?
Yeah, we're going to do football next.
Okay.
No, we're not, because our bin is being hogged by the Hoffman foursome.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got everything going on there. I mean, they've probably got side bets going on. Putts. They're probably putting, and there's no putting green.
Well, yeah, we're going to play football later, but AJ's already taped his ankles. So.
At least he's not grabbing them. Hey, you know what we got to do? We got to tell you that we're halfway through the show. 90 minutes in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show coming up in just mere minutes right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Your heart, I'm never gonna hold you back. I'm always gonna have your back. So try to remember that. Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from 5 Under Golf Center in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I can never remember which cat food to get either, so I always have to ask my wife. I have to call her on the cell phone, and I'm like, which items do I have to get for these cats? She's like, babe, it's easy. It's in the blue bag. It's the indoor weight control hairball formula. Yeah. These are some high-maintenance cats we have at my house. That's very specific. They don't have any specific food for me like that at Walmart, all right? I can't just walk in and be like, hey, where's the overweight, bald, white guy, broken dreams food?
Hey, that's our Comedian of the Week on an FEI Friday, Eric Knowles. Barry gave you a little bit of the backstory in hour number one. We'll have one more clip from him at 3:15, but funny dude. What did you say, Barry? He won the World Series of Comedy?
Won the World Series of Comedy a couple years ago. Lives now in the Beaumont area. Tours the country nationally as a headliner. That gig I did at Village Mills, he was there. The Popes were there. Welcome to the Popes for showing up. But they were there. They got to see Eric in action. So, yeah, funny dude. And I thought, well, this will be a good time. Our last trip to Beaumont, why not feature a comic that's based out of there right now? So.
So good stuff there. If you missed anything, as we always tell you, go to ESPN975.com at the top of the page where it says Usual Suspects. Click on the tab, and you will find out your ways of catching up. Hour number one was our first clip with him at 1:15, and like I said, we'll have one more after that, after the one we just had. So very good stuff. A little baseball news for you as they're getting ready for the winter meetings. Yankees have come out and said they are all in on Gerrit Cole.
Boo! If he goes to the Yankees, oh, he's so... Because you know he's just going to teach them how to cheat, and that's going to really piss me off.
Well, I think they've been... Don't sell it short that they weren't doing pretty good before the whole Astros thing kind of put them in the background.
I was going to say, people are quick to forget the fact that, what was it, last year?
Yeah.
That they that them and the Red Sox got in... No, 2017.
A year before. I think
that,
it was, yeah.
Yeah, that the Yankees had moved a bunch of cameras for the Yes Network, and the Red Sox filed complaints, and... They're
Apple
pretty,
watches.
They're
both
pretty
were doing
good
it.
At cheating up there too. So he'll fit right in. It'll be.
Did he say anything about the beard and whether or not that's like an issue? He doesn't care, right? He'll.
I think the beard and the hair is going to be an issue. I think that's partly why you saw Dallas Keuchel not become a Yankee.
Encarnacion looked totally different when he had to shave.
Yeah, he.
That's a deal. And I, you know what? In this day and age, it's amazing that they're still able to do that and get away with it.
Right.
But they have requirements in terms of no facial hair. Them and the Cincinnati Reds, it used to be both franchises. I don't know if the Reds still do it. But no facial hair, and your hair has to be cut to a certain length. But let's face the facts. Gerrit Cole's not going to be an Astro next year. I mean, the three teams that are in the running, they said, are the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Angels. He's met most recently with the Yankees. They're supposed to meet with Strasburg, too. Going to be a real awkward meeting because of the fact that they're both represented by Scott Boras, and the Yankees have said they're all in on Gerrit Cole. Well, how do you come into that meeting and go, so are we out? Or you considering us, too? Or
look, the Astros are saying the right thing by saying we're going to make a run at him. They don't have the money to do that. Look, they're already over the luxury tax.
They don't make the Greinke deal if they didn't know back then.
They're over the luxury tax. You still need to move guys like Reddick. We talked about that yesterday. This is a team that's, a $208 million payroll? And that's projecting that George Springer is going to get $20 million in arbitration. And then you're going to have to pay George Springer. And I know we talk about the fact that, hey, you know, you've got Bregman and you've got Altuve and you've got – George Springer is the straw that stirs this drink for the Astros.
Absolutely.
The guy at the top of the lineup matters. And he's – I know what Altuve is and Verlander and all these guys are super important to the team. But you can make a significant case about George Springer being the MVP of this team the last couple of years, period. And he could have been the MVP of the league had he not gotten hurt. He was playing that well. They need to pay George Springer, and I think they need to keep George Springer an Astro. And what that means is guys like Josh Reddick have to go. Yep. Guys like Kyle Tucker have to step up. Guys like Yordan Alvarez have to take over some positions on this team as well and play a prominent role going forward while they're still – where there's still value.
Look, and I'm a huge Springer fan, but you're right. And the other thing is they're going to have some tough decisions to make with even a Correa because of the fact you can only pay so many guys. Your payroll is so top-heavy right now.
If you had to choose between Springer and Correa.
I'm taking Springer.
Are you?
Correa's younger, but Correa's but Springer, to me, consistently seems to be like he can stay healthy more. He's shown more consistency in terms of hitting for power, hitting for average. You know, the things that he's able to do. He's older, obviously, but I've always been a fan of George Springer in his game.
Yeah, I think he seems to be more important to this team, but 5 years is a big.
You can put Bregman at shortstop. You can find another third baseman. You can move some pieces around.
That's true.
But, you know, George at center field, he's, like I said, center field, right field, you can move him around.
Yeah, but as a center fielder gets older, they lose a lot of their value.
You hit on something very, very big.
When a 35-year-old center fielder versus a 30-year-old shortstop,
but you
can
move him.
You're going to have to sign him for 5 years.
Sure.
Right? You're going to sign a 5-year deal with him once he gets out of arbitration. He's probably going to command upwards of $20 million a year.
But how many of those
years
do you
think he's going to cross the 20 sweat threshold this year in arbitration?
That's what I mean. Yeah, so he's going to get upwards of $20 million. Above that, he's going to get, you know, at least he's going to cost you $100 million.
When are they moving? What are you being moved to the outfield? What, in your 30s, right? Like normally.
No, he's talking about move to a corner position from center field as you get older because you don't have the closing speed to play and cover the
hours. So my question is, when does that normally happen?
It just depends on when you fall off.
Mid-30s?
Yeah, when you fall off.
I mean, you would have
I'm thinking that happens 33, 34, 35, right?
Yeah, I mean mid-30s. So, and it just
depends on the person. He's also a more physical guy. I mean, like I said, I've been standing next to him. You probably have too, with the locker room. I did a couple events with him where you stand next to him, and people don't realize because you see him on TV, he's built like almost like a running back.
He looks like an athlete. He doesn't look like an athlete.
Whereas you get a Jacoby Ellsbury or some of these other center fielders that can play center longer into their career because they're not as put together like a George Springer. I think the Astros did the right thing by giving him a little money earlier than they had to. They did the same thing with Bregman because they knew that they were so cheap earlier when George Springer was coming up. They held him back for so long so that they could get team control and continue to have team control. They knew that he wanted out because he felt like he had really been screwed over. So they tried to do a little something now so they didn't have to really overpay later, and they hope that they can bring him back. But because Bregman is so capable and came up as a shortstop, if you lose Correa and you move Bregman to from third to short, you don't really – it just opens up another position that you can find someone that can play third base for you.
I could see this outfield after next season easily being Yordan Alvarez in left. Michael Brantley's going to cost you a grip too. And he's 32 right now, so he'll be 33.
But aren't you fine with – your American League team, aren't you fine with Yordan just DHing?
Yeah, but let me finish. You're going to have to pay Michael Brantley after next year. You're going to have to pay George Springer because this is his last year of arbitration. You know what you have in Josh Reddick, so Kyle Tucker's your left fielder. You have to make a decision now. You can't sign Brantley and Springer. You just can't afford both
unless
of those guys
Springer
with this payroll.
A hometown deal late in his career because he likes it here, but he's not that much.
He's a New York guy. He could go get this money in New York easily.
Brantley's not a New York guy, is he?
No, Springer.
Oh, Springer is he's a Connecticut guy.
Well, yeah.
He's a huge Red Sox guy. Yeah.
But he could go get that money from them easily.
Yeah, it's
I don't see him giving the hometown discount either.
So you have to make that decision, and that's why I say Yordan is cheap now.
Not George. I was talking about Brantley.
What?
Because Brantley's a little bit longer on in his career.
Springer.
And Brantley loves playing here, and he loves playing with the environment, the culture. He may take a little less after that. He's up after this year. He may take a little less to stay here, is what I was saying.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. He's 32.
I thought he was talking about Springer.
This could be his last legitimate long-term contract based off of how he's played. He probably plays really well next year if you had to bet. So he's going to have one more shot. He's going to have one more shot at getting a big contract. I don't know if the Astros can afford him and Springer, even though you're going to have Kyle Tucker as your right fielder. I could see them having to settle for the fact that, look, Yordan is going to have to play some outfield for us on the cheap.
Well, look, it's an interesting topic because there were a lot of bleeding hearts yesterday because of Jake Marisnyk, but they've got tougher decisions to make that are going to see some more friendly faces that might be playing in other places because of the fact that you can enjoy it for one more year. Your lineup is going to be solid regardless of what your pitching staff is, but after this year, like you said, because there's so many tough decisions to make, you better be prepared that some of these friendly faces are going to be going in other directions.
Well, another point I wanted to make was the fact that Yordan at Minute Maid is an easier pill to swallow than if you were playing in...
You're talking about in left?
Yeah, in left field, as opposed to playing in some of these other places where the left field is cavernous.
But
you got to count on him.
You know, that little gap where the visiting bullpen is and that...
But that's where Springer... That's why you have...
that and the Crawford boxes, there's some idiosyncrasies.
That's why you have Springer in center to make up for some of that.
Right, so it'll be... Look, again, if everybody thought it was sunshine and rainbows and it was the long-term success of the Astros and they were going to stay together forever, it never stays the same, and it's going to be interesting the decisions that they have to make. And I don't know now with the winter meeting started. We don't know if Jeff Luhnow is going to be all involved in the kind of trades.
He talked about it.
It may be major league talent for major league talent now because he's depleted a lot of the farm system.
He's talked about the fact that they're looking for arms and catchers. That's what he's looking for.
And the catching market is thinning out.
He's looking for catchers and pitchers in San Diego right now.
So that should be fun to watch as they get into the weekend and start the general managers meetings and the winter meetings. So we'll continue to roll on here on the usual suspects. If you guys want to join us, 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number, or you could always hit us up on Twitter. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Twin Peaks. With all the sports that is going to be going on in Houston to watch this weekend, why wouldn't you hit one of the five area Houston area Twin Peaks locations? There's got to be one close to you, and it's everything that I always tell you about. It's 29-degree draft beer at the bar. They've got the thermostat right there with the digital readout. You can tell how cold all the beers are if you order those. And it's made from scratch menu items. It's appetizers. It's main courses. And, of course, the beautiful Twin Peaks girls. And the best thing is you can go in on Saturday. Saturday morning, you want to watch some Premier League soccer. You can go in the afternoon. You want to watch some of these conference championship games. You may also want to watch some NBA or college basketball. Watch them all on four straight screens right in front of you at your table, no matter where you're sitting in the location. It's just fantastic. And, of course, they take care of you because of the Twin Peaks grills. Like I always tell you, if you're going to get out of the house and you don't want to do any of the work, go to one of the Twin Peaks locations because it's eats, drinks, scenic views. It's got to be Twin Peaks.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from 5 Under Golf Center in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're rolling through The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. If you missed it, you're just crawling out from under a rock. Well, if you want to crawl out, find a way to get down here to Beaumont and get it to 5 under golf. It is an absolutely fantastic establishment. It's got everything you need, indoor, outdoor. Chris was just showing me. They're hoping that by March they're going to open the outdoor portion of the program, which would be the outdoor range technology. And it is really cool. That way you can go indoor, outdoor. But it's a cool place to hang out, even if you're not a golfer. And have a whole lot of fun with a very classy environment, food, drink, lots of cool people. So I think, man, this concept right here is awesome.
Now, Nicholas, before we took you over there to swing, you had never swung a golf club before, right?
I have once at Top Golf, the I-10 location. And it was equally as bad.
As bad?
Yeah.
I'll admit, watching you, it wasn't pretty.
He's critical of both of us today.
No. Let me finish. However, why are you throwing your glasses?
I don't need them right now. I'm letting you finish.
He chunked his reading glasses at the laptop.
You are literally throwing a fit for no reason, because even as bad as your swings were and Joel's first swing was, I just got to witness AJ Hoffman whiff.
No.
His drive.
Please tell me someone got that on video.
No, but my God, that was amazing. And I just want to point out that there was no wind. The ball never moved. How do you whiff?
He thought it was baseball, and he was just taking a few practice swings.
I was like, Brent, are you going to talk about that? Please tell me you're going to talk about that. Fred goes, hell no. Have you seen some of these balls I've hit? I ain't saying nothing. but they're having fun over there. They're playing a whole 18 holes of golf before they go on air. How cool is that?
Chris was explaining to me that you actually putt. You set it up a certain way so you can determine what the speed is.
Okay.
And then it determines like your putting and the slope and everything like that. See, the novice guy doesn't care about that stuff. I think that makes it even more interesting. Hey, welcome back to the segment that no one heard. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Sorry, we had a little technology issues there.
But
we had a little drop.
You can't hear it at all. Like, there's no indication.
I heard something happen.
You did?
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything.
It got different for a minute, but I just thought it was whatever.
So, recapping the segment that you might not have heard, AJ swung and missed and whiffed at a golf ball.
See, now you made sure you got that in.
Damn right I did.
come on.
So we got that to talk about. And the fact that, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but we were talking baseball. But Jeff Passan and some of our listeners sent us some stuff yesterday that they wanted us to read on the air and didn't realize it was for, and we caught that was from the fake Jeff Passan account. Well, one of the things that they sent out yesterday from that account was Gerrit Cole signs with the Yankees 6 years, $250-some million. Jeff Passan reported today that the Yankees are basically have permission to go all out in signing Gerrit Cole for whatever. And then he tweets out and he says, and yes, this story is real. Unlike the crap Twitter doesn't seem to particularly get inclined to take down from the fake account. So he's getting a little saucy about the fact that, you know who else did that? Bill Worrell, who never wanted to get on Twitter, knows that there's a fake Bill Worrell parody account.
He still uses
it chaps dial-up. His ass like nobody's business.
Bill Worrell is still on dial-up. That's why he didn't want to get on Twitter.
He now has a,
he still has to take the phone off the
no, hook, he now has a Twitter account, but it still bothers him.
He puts it on the modem, and then he has to dial with the... Like, he's that old school.
He got the legal counsel, the illegal counsel of the Rockets. He wanted
illegal
them.
Counsel?
Illegal, yeah. He got that.
The illegal counsel.
Yeah, I mean, normally when you get that title like that, you should probably, you got to pass the bar, right?
Hour and then once about 2 minutes
but,
ago.
So
it's normally
Nick, we can hear you,
that,
buddy.
Ever.
Hey, buddy.
But, hey, yeah, Nick, we're like trying to do radio over here.
Hey, Nick.
Chris, we're trying to do radio over here.
You.
Sorry, it's just, you know. But. Bill was so chapped about that he wanted the Rockets' legal people to basically go and eliminate that account. And you can't do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's Twitter's decision,
if
right?
If it says it's a parody account, you can't take it off.
I don't know if it says legitimate.
Yeah, if
parody.
It says a parody account, you shouldn't be able to.
Or
yeah,
it says
you can't do anything.
I don't know if it says fake Bill Worrell account or whatever.
I don't think you can take that one down.
Nick's over there. Hey, well, we're like, oh, bro.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
You got to turn your mic off.
They were talking to me, so I was talking. I was responding.
Other baseball news when you were talking, Barry, in terms of the Astros looking for catching.
Yep.
Catcher Alex Avila has signed with the Minnesota Twins, 1 year, $4.25 million.
Yep.
The Brewers have already made a trade that was, what was it, yesterday, getting a young catcher from the Mariners. Michael Pineda, a guy I thought that the Astros might want to take a look at if they were looking at rotational help. 2 years and $20 million to remain with the Twins as well. And then a big deal this morning, Padres acquired Tommy Pham from the Rays, who was one of their better hitters and is a pretty good stick. He's going to San Diego with a prospect and going back to the Rays. Hunter Renfro and a top prospect in the San Diego system, Xavier Edwards, who they say is he could play short, he could play second, he should be a stud.
You know, Pham wasn't a guy that he was a critical piece of that Rays organization and that Rays team, and more importantly, he was big in the clubhouse. They loved him in that clubhouse. So I think they may not necessarily feel it on the field, which I think Tommy Pham is underrated in baseball.
Yeah,
I think people sleep on what his contributions are on the field.
Cardinals organization, right?
Originally from the Cardinals. Yeah, they're going to miss Tommy Pham in Tampa Bay. That especially.
But
in that
you
clubhouse.
Know what? It's a product of what they are. They are a small market team. They play in a rinky dink crap stadium, and so as much as we always say the A's are the king of Moneyball and they have to watch every dollar and do everything a certain way. Let's be honest. The Rays have to do the same thing, and we've seen them do that. They had Evan Longoria forever, and they just decided, you know what, we can't afford him anywhere, and we got to go to trying to get some prospects for him while he still has some value because we can't pay him, and we still need to put a team on the field. So they're one of those teams like you're not going to see franchise big-time salaries and free agents come to Tampa and stay long-term.
I'm impressed with the way that some of those markets have been able to manage their budget, but – I mean, every league has that issue. The NBA has that issue. MLB has that issue. Obviously, Oakland kind of started the blueprint, but even they have not won the pennant. I mean, they've never won, even with all the analytics and the numbers that they have to their, you know, that they have access to.
I think that comes down to finances more than anything else. You can do all the analytics because you stay competitive, but they just don't have the big budget to go get and keep if they do get, you know, big-time players like that. So... And on that note, the Nationals have also come out. The Nationals owner came out today and said, with Strasburg and Rendon, both free agents, they can't afford to sign both guys back. So if you're a Nationals fan, enjoy the World Series. But you're only going to have one of, if not, maybe you might not have either one of those guys come next year, depending on how all things go. But that's the way baseball goes these days with finances. So we'll continue to roll on here on The Usual Suspects. You can always join us, 713-780-3776. You can text that number, or, of course, you can reach us on Twitter. Back with more on ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.